So we've had the fish tank here for a few Sundays because we've been talking about vision. And the first two Sundays, we talked about the fact that actually the fishbowl can be a toxic environment for fish because of ammonia, etc. And if you were here, you'll remember that. But we also did mention that the church doesn't only focus on outreach. It's not only outward focused, it's also inward focused. However, the point of the inward focus is to prepare us for the outward focus. There's a method to the madness, if you will. There's a reason why we invest inwardly. We're not just doing it for fun. And this morning, we're going to get out of the, we're going to get back into the fish tank a little bit, because this morning we're going to talk about the inward focus. You probably already noticed that in our passage, Ephesians chapter 4. And those of you that know me fairly well know that this passage is a hobby horse of mine. It's a wonderful passage that that we're looking at. No passage is more descriptive of the church in action than Ephesians 4, 1 to 16. This passage focuses on life, order, unity, and the purpose of the church, as well as its diversity and some of its challenges. So I want to break it into three parts this morning. Verses 1 to 6 of the chapter focuses on unity. Now, this is really terribly important. I'm guessing that if we had a hockey team here this morning and we asked them about things, some of them would say they were playing defense and others forward, and then there's a goalie, and et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, and I won't get into the NHL teams that build around one player, I'm staying away from that. But at the end of the day, it's a team effort. And the team has to keep that in mind, that everybody contributes to the team effort. I still remember when Brazil lost the World Cup against France, when they were so super talented, but apparently they'd almost had a fight in the dressing room at halftime about who was greatest. They lost because France actually played as a team, even though they were weaker. See, what it's all about me. There's, what do they say? There's no I in team. So unity is the foundation. It's the foundation of everything. And Paul begins by challenging us to live a life worthy of God's calling. So we start with God's calling on our life, which is marked by humility, gentleness, patience, tolerant love, and peacekeeping. Newsflash. Your pastor has feet of clay. I don't always get this right. Attention here goes first to the ego and then to loving relationships. And understanding of God's work is always an attack on the ego. But don't misunderstand me. That's not to obliterate or humiliate the self, but to bring it into submission to God and to redirect its interests. Okay, so this is not about destroying yourself, or like we say in Low German, mit mir esset nicht, I don't amount to anything. This is not like that. It's about redirecting and submitting our will and our ego to Christ. Actually, Jesus clearly states in another passage that it is in losing our life that we find it, losing it to God, that we find our real purpose for living. And that attitude is probably best described in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. That wonderful passage that talks about Christ emptying himself. And I found out recently that that preposition that starts that phrase, even though he was God, he set aside and didn't consider grasping what he had. And I found out somebody said that preposition can also mean because he was God. In other words, what Jesus did was completely in keeping with his personality and his character as God, because that's who God is. God is the one who sacrifices, the self-giver. He sets that example. And Paul challenges us to emulate Christ by pursuing the same attitude. And you can read that list of things that Paul went through, and certainly he worked really hard to emulate the attitude of Christ. Now, unity in the faith is not merely unity in the ideas that we believe, nor is it unanimity that allows no one to think nor any differences of opinion. We wouldn't actually do Q&A after our services when we have time if we thought that there could be no contrary opinions to what the pastor has to say. You see, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. I'm not threatened by the fact that sometimes people have different ideas. Unity results from having received the gospel and living with Christ. And despite our differences, we are bound together by a common purpose. We dare not forget the common purpose that we have and the unity that we have in Christ, because that will pull us through whatever storm comes in the future. We have to remember that. But Paul has more in mind here than just affirming our unity in Christ. And he goes on, verses 7 to 11, to talk about diversity. Having focused on what we have in common, what binds us together, Paul now moves on to discuss the necessity of diversity within the body. Unity does not mean that individuality and individual responsibility are lost. Some of you have heard me say this, especially if you came to me for marriage counseling. If you and I are identical, then one of us is unnecessary. Can you imagine if absolutely everybody here was a pastor and was... Or if we all had one particular gift and all the other gifts were missing? You see, there's diversity. Unity reigns, but Christ does not work merely at the corporate level. He also works in individual lives and gives grace to each person. And let's remember, in this passage, the grace that he talks about is not referring here to saving grace, but grace for ministry. In fact, Paul could have easily written, to each of us, ministry has been given. The text says, to each of us, grace has been given. He could have just as easily said, to each of us, ministry has been given. And just as he spoke in chapter 3, verse 8, of the grace given to him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, he could have said, the ministry of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles was given to him. And here he writes about the grace given to each person to do the work of our calling. I've often said that actually the pastor is a little bit like the coach. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. I haven't. But I doubt that the coach in the NHL grabs a hockey stick and jumps on the ice because he actually wants to show how this should be done. That would be hilarious. But his job is actually during practice, during figuring out who plays with who best. His job is during the practice and all of that. But then when the game is played, the players play the game. And so those of us who have been given this challenge of equipping and training, our task is to invest in the rest of you for ministry. Unity does not exist in the sameness of person or responsibility, but in our common purpose and calling as part of the body of Christ. Within unity, grace is given to everyone so that each person has a different responsibility. Unity is maintained in the midst of diversity and variety because of a common purpose and commitment. So we are bound together in unity, but we also recognize our diversity. It's very important to recognize, accept, and embrace the God-intended and God-empowered diversity of functions within the body of Christ. What is measured to each one of us is needed to make the full measure of the body of Christ. So we all have a role to play. We all have a part to play. So we could actually say here that the gifts, verse 7, the gifts are given to people, but, verse 11, people are also gifts to the church. And this morning, we're going to get to this. We're going to recognize that Trevor is a gift to this church. And wonderful, it's a gift that keeps on giving. As the Spirit works through each person for the good of the common community, each person is a gift to the church. So why? Okay, we have unity, we have diversity, why? There's a rationale, there's a purpose here. People are given as gifts to serve and to build up. The purpose of diversity of gifts is the equipping of the body for service and ministry, resulting in growth and maturity. The gifts Christ gives to the church are people to promote serving and building up. Now, let's not forget that this text does not set up a hierarchy of clergy and laity, i.e. pastors and non-pastors. That's not what this text is suggesting. Rather, it speaks of people given to the church to assist in its service and edification. The idea is not of gifts given to special people, but grace given people to the church. I remember telling students at SBC that pastors were kind of like three-quarters of the way up the ladder. They were almost in the cloud forest. But missionaries, they were up on the top rung in the nosebleed section. Yeah, and I expected a few laughs to recognize that I was being sarcastic. That doesn't make any sense. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And all of us are important in terms of what we contribute and what we do. While all Christians have a teaching responsibility, some people are recognized as teaching pastors, or more literally, teaching shepherds. Verse 12 clearly states the purpose of the diversity of gifting, to prepare God's people for works of service. And I'm going to say that you could have a church of 5,000, and if only 2% of those people in that church are actively serving, using their gifts, I don't call that a success. But you could have a church of 100 and have 90% of them using their gifts and serving, and I say that's a success. See, it depends on what you're measuring. Are you measuring attendance? Or are you measuring body life and service and edification and growth to maturity? Leaders equip the people who then do the work of serving, which builds up the body of Christ. So a correct understanding of the relationship between clergy and laity is very important. The emphasis on each person receiving grace for ministry, which we found in 4 verse 7, necessitates a focus on the involvement of all people in the work of the church. The emphasis on preparing requires a complement. What are God's people being prepared to do? What are we being prepared to do if it is not to serve and build up the body? So everyone has the same task of building up the body, even though our responsibilities may vary. I can still remember as a youth or a preteen, I don't remember the age, growing up in the Main Street EMC, at one point I had the task of changing those letters on the sign in front of the church. You'd open the back and then you'd put those metal letters. And I can remember at one point, I think it was probably a particular evening where it was 40 below in January, and I was putting these metal letters, so of course I was freezing my fingers, thinking this was probably the most menial task in the entire church. But it was important, especially the Sunday I got it wrong and I put the preacher as Ben D. R. Reimer instead of Ben D. Reimer. There was a very concerned contractor in the church that morning. Every task is important. Don't think that what you're doing doesn't count. In fact, if you're wondering, maybe call that retired pastor from the largest church in Seoul, Korea, and ask him how that church grew to having thousands and thousands and having 8 services on a Sunday, one after the other. And I know what his answer is, because he's been asked. There's a little old lady in this church that has been praying for revival for 50 years. That's the reason. Okay? So don't think that what you're doing is unimportant. Yes, the focus here is mostly on internal strengthening of the church, but building up the church by reaching out to unbelievers is also included. Paul's concern here is that his readers will not be blown around like babies. Very interesting. It's easy to get distracted or to focus on the wrong priorities. We need each other. Our Lord wants us to have a mature faith. So what's the connection between verses 11 to 13 and 14 to 16? The gifting and the purpose. There are several contrasts that this passage sets up for us. Infancy versus maturity, verse 14. Or tossed about versus joined and held together, verse 15 or 16, a deception versus speaking the truth, human origin versus from Christ, or crafty people serving their own interests versus honest, loving people serving others. You see, living the truth in love is both the means of growth and also the result of growth. Let me say that again. Living the truth in love is both the means of growth, but it's also the result of growth. As believers, we are attached to Christ by faith. And as we grow, we are more closely brought into relationship with Him and into conformity with His character and His will. And His desires and purposes become ours. That's a great litmus test for how close you are to Christ, when His priorities and purposes become your own, when what matters to Him matters to you. As we've gathered here together this morning, we're also doing so with the intention of receiving a gift from God to this body in the form of an associate pastor. As we've read in Ephesians 4:11, He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. And I won't get into the distinction of all of those labels because they overlap to some degree. I think that's secondary. Not only has God gifted EFC with a lead pastor, but also with a youth director and a board of elders. And now He's also gifted us with an associate pastor to work alongside of us in serving this family of faith. Church family, I want to encourage you to stand behind and pray for Trevor. I know that this is a great day for us, and we're moving forward as a body. We're being stretched and broadened as a church family as we seek to grow in maturity. This is a decision that strengthens us and our ability to thrive as a family of faith. I believe that God has gifted Trevor to us, and I encourage you to love, respect, and encourage him wholeheartedly. But just so you don't miss it, I hope I'm speaking for all of us. We're not infallible. Feet of clay. And as I said, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. So we encourage and admonish and work with each other, and none of us are beyond needing that level of engagement and support. And let's remember that we all have a role in building our church family to maturity as each part does its work in love. I'm going to call Kevin up, and he's going to call up whoever. Kevin is one of our chairs of the Board of Elders, so he's my boss, and so I'm going to turn this over to him now.
Good morning. Thank you, Ernie, for that transition. On behalf of the Board of Elders, we want to take this time this morning to commission Trevor for ministry here at EFC. We are excited about working with him as our associate pastor. Trevor's strong faith, dedication, and passion for ministry have already been a positive impact to our congregation. We believe that his leadership, wisdom, and heart for service serving others aligns well with our vision as a church. Pastor Trevor has demonstrated a deep commitment and nurturing spiritual growth, fostering community, sharing the love of Christ. We are excited about the future, what the future holds, and the journey that we will be joining together. Trevor and Jamie, would you come forward, please? There are three parts to this commissioning: the response from the congregation, a response from Trevor, and a strong response from Jamie. First, to the congregation. You as a congregation of Evangelical Fellowship Church have asked Trevor Fleming to be your associate pastor. He has accepted this invitation and is willing to serve you in this capacity. We are gathered here on this occasion to commission him as our associate pastor, and with that in mind, we direct the following charge to you. The scripture says, God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be teachers. Ephesians 4:11. We are here today to recognize Trevor's pastoral gift and commission him in this role. Will you as a congregation accept Trevor Fleming as your associate pastor, supporting him with your prayers, gifts, friendship, and using your spiritual gifts in building the body of Christ? If this is your commitment, please stand. Trevor, you have seen that the congregation, by standing to their feet, have confirmed their call to you as their associate pastor. Will you accept the charge to serve this congregation under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and to perform those ministries which help people to become disciples of Jesus Christ and which will build the body of Christ?
With God's help.
Jamie, are you in accordance with Trevor's commitment to serve the church, this church, and will you assist him in your role as a pastor's wife to carry out these duties? And will you also use your spiritual gifts God has given you to minister to this congregation? You may be seated. I'd like to call Pastor Ernie, Leroy Siemens, and Hilda Friesen to the front for prayers of commissioning.
Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the way you provide for your church. This morning, we especially give thanks for bringing Trevor and Jamie, Brooklyn, Jack, and Rex to us. I pray that their fellowship with us will be mutually edifying for both them and for us. I pray that you would grant Trevor wisdom and joy for the ministry, especially as he learns to know and understand our church. My prayer today is especially for Jamie as she stands with Trevor. May she know that we recognize how important she is in his ministry as she encourages, supports, and shares in his dreams, successes, and disappointments. Help us as a church to be there to encourage her and support her. May she always feel loved and accepted as she too adjusts to a new environment and church community. Thank you, Lord, for Brooklyn, Jack, and Rex. Moving to a new community, school, and church family is hard, so we pray that you will help them in their adjustments to quickly make new friends and to feel at home. We pray your provision, protection, and care over this family. As we as a church look forward to the leadership that Trevor and Jamie bring to our church family, I pray that we will also remember that this family needs friends, encouragement, and our continued prayers. Lord, bless them, and through their leadership, may our church grow to be more and more like you as we care for one another and for the community where you have placed us. With thanksgiving, in Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we thank you for the Flemings. Thank you for their willingness to serve here at EFC. And thank you for them as they have begun to integrate here into this community of faith. My prayer, God, is that from Proverbs 4, above all else, would you guard their hearts? Would you help them guard their hearts as they serve, especially for Trevor as he serves in ministry, that everything that he does would flow from an abundance of love that you have given him. Would you help him guard his heart in ministry through the ups and downs, through the highs and lows, through that there the times of discouragement, he would lean on you to guard the time with the family, as it is easy to place ministry above family, that our family is our first and foremost priority. As Trevor displays and uses his giftings that you've given him here at EFC, would his gaze be on you, and may he not be distracted? May it may they not turn to the left or to the right, but be focused on the vision that you have given him for EFC. And as we walk in this journey together, may there be unity between in the family, and may there also be unity among with him and the other staff. And as it is from a happy soul that a fruitful ministry flows. And so may you give Trevor and Jamie and the family as well a contentment, a joy in sitting in your presence, and may from that abundance of joy flow a fruitful ministry here at EFC. We thank you for them, and may you continue to guide and bless them as we are blessed through their ministry. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that you have gifted Trevor and the experience that you've given him, the pastoral heart that you've given him, and that now you have also gifted Trevor and Jamie and their family to us as a church family. I thank you for the way that he has fit in as part of our staff and what he brings in his encouragement and his joy and his love for our church family. Lord, I pray that you will continue to guide and direct. I pray that they will feel encouraged and embraced and appreciated as they participate here at EFC. And I thank you for the way that you continue to build up the body of Christ through your servants. And so I pray that you would continue to bless, that you would guide and direct, and that you would keep them in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your encouragement. I realize that in most scenarios, a commissioning should be done much earlier, but we're excited to be here. We're excited to serve alongside you, and we are encouraged to see the work that the Lord has done in this church. I know sometimes when you hop into a new church, it feels like you've hopped into a river, and you're just like, I don't know where this river has been, and I don't know where it's going. And so, I don't know all the details of the past, but I'm excited for the future of EFC. And so as we serve, we do it humbly. We do it knowing that we certainly are not perfect people. And if you expect that, well, I'll just be hopping out that back door. But we do it under the grace of God and under the love of God. And so we're encouraged by what God's doing. And I'm reminded this morning that it is certainly the work of the team. As we serve, we do it alongside each of you. And even though I have an office over there, that doesn't make me any more important than anybody else. And so I'm just encouraged to work alongside you and encouraged to see what God's going to do. It's my prayer that you as a church would continue to pray for our family as you think about us on a daily basis. And feel free to stop in and talk with us and give us a call. And I just want to thank you as well for embracing our family, for getting to know our kids' names. You wouldn't believe how important that is to call each kid by their name rather than saying, hey, you're the pastor's kid, right? We're encouraged that you not just get to know our kids' names, but actually embrace them and welcome them and, involve them in things. So we're excited for what God's going to do and excited to be a part of it. And we thank you for your welcome so far, and we're looking forward to what's next. So I said it all? Okay, thank you. Call up the worship team.